Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the offhand remark by Secretary of State John Kerry that the Assad regime could avoid an American strike if they handed over their chemical weapons arsenal to the international community in the next week, a suggestion the Russians have run with that the Syrian foreign minister quickly endorsed. Edward Luttwak, a senior associate at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, joins us to discuss this sudden turn of events and his recent article in the New York Times, "In Syria, America Loses If Either Side Wins." Then we will speak with award-winning investigative journalist Max Blumenthal, who is in Ramallah, Palestine, having just visited the vast Syrian refugee camp in Jordan. We will discuss the appalling conditions the traumatized refugees live under and the fate of the many thousands more Syrian refugees just across the border who are prevented from entering Jordan. An opponent of U.S. intervention, Max Blumenthal, was repeatedly told by the refugees that they want America to bomb Assad, even if it costs them their homes and livelihoods. Then finally, we'll speak with Todd O'Boyle, the program director at the Media and Democracy Reform Initiative at Common Cause, who was in the conservative-dominated U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit today as judges heard an appeal by Verizon that challenges the FCC's statutory authority and their open internet rules in a critical case that will decide the future of net neutrality in America. And joining us now is Edward Luttwak, who is a senior associate at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He served as a consultant to the Office of the Secretary of Defense, the National Security Council, the United States Department of State, and branches of the military. He's the author of Strategy, the Logic of War and Peace, and his latest book is The Rise of China versus the Logic of Strategy. Welcome to Background Briefing, Edward Luttwak.
Hello.
So your recent article, it's titled "In Syria, America Loses If Either Side Wins." Do you still, hold by the basic point there, which sort of reminds me somewhat of what Henry Kissinger said about the Iran-Iraq war? It's a pity both sides can't lose. And whether that has been the U.S. strategy or the reality on the ground, you've advocated the continuation of that. But clearly, things are reaching a point, boiling point, if you will. What do you make of this Russian offer?
Well, I think the Russian offer should be accepted straight out, because any argument anybody I've heard anybody's made for bombing of Syria is an argument that the Russian offer completely overturns, because if we go with the Russian offer, we achieve that purpose much better. One argument, of course, is to punish the Assad regime for having used chemical weapons, leaving aside, the argument that it was really the rebels who did it and so on. And that argument of punishment, well, whatever the bombing that we could do and would deprive Assad of a certain number of these chemical weapons, do much less than what the Russians are proposing, which is international, but in fact, American-Russian joint identification on the ground, location, removal, and destruction of all his chemical weapons. So bombing would destroy some, and this Russian proposal might miss a few, but certainly would eliminate far more. So it would be a far better solution, and if you like to think of it as a punishment, a far stronger punishment.
Well, in terms of the idea that both sides, the policy is that you want both sides to lose, it seems to me that the president dug himself into a rhetorical trap by issuing the red line, and then the unexpected happened, which was the regime's use of chemical weapons. And now you have the Russian proposal that might begin to eliminate them. Do you think that the Secretary of State, John Kerry, also dug a rhetorical trap for himself in this offhanded remark in London, where he suggested that the Syrians could get rid of all, in a verified way, get rid of all of the chemical stockpiles? That has led his own spokesperson, Jen Psaki, to describe that more as a rhetorical exercise than a proposal, but it looks like both the Russians and the Syrians are running with it.
Well, the fact is that President Obama has been poorly served by his own overactive officials. He himself made it clear in every possible way for more than 2 years that he views Assad's enemies as dangerous or more dangerous than the Assad regime. And therefore he, Obama, refused to get engaged. He was bombarded by all these, overactive columnists and too many of his own officials. Left in the NSC, by Samantha and so on, and telling him, do something, the do something crowd, who don't even feel called upon to specify what they want done or why and so on. Well, he resisted this very firmly. And then when he said that the use of chemical weapons would be the red line, that was actually his own way of resisting it, because the message to Assad was, don't use chemical weapons, you're doing well enough without them. And then this horrible episode happened, 1,400 people got killed. I personally am more or less convinced that it was done by the rebels precisely to trigger an American action, but that's neither here nor there. The thing is that Kerry has also been an overactive official, hot and vehement as compared to Obama's cool restraint. And so Obama is now besieged by his own appointees, and makes the predicament even worse, which is he has now had to gamble the authority of his administration on Congress voting in favor of a military action that he, Obama, would certainly have opposed if he were still a congressman. Obama is asking them to do something he wouldn't do himself if he was a congressman. So this is a three-way predicament. And now comes the Russian offer. The Russian offer is, don't need to bomb, great. Instead, we inspect, remove all chemical weapons. That achieves the purpose in regard to Iran. And it achieves the subtext purpose, which is to intimidate Iran. You punish Syria and you intimidate Iran, and much more effectively, because you create the precedent of Americans and Russians working together to identify and remove offending items. Of course, it's the nuclear stuff in Iran's case. So I've heard many arguments for bombing of Syria. All of them are satisfied by the Russian offer, except one, and that is, you actually want to bomb Syria to eliminate the Assad regime. Thank you very much. That would be to install the caliphate crowd, the Salafists, the jihadis, the Al-Qaeda, who are, every day manifest themselves. Just the other day, the Italian journalist was released. It turns out he had not been kidnapped by the government, but by the rebels, and the rebels were a bunch of very dangerous fanatics.
Well, and they just captured a Christian town, Malula, which is, I think, the last place on the planet where people speak Aramaic, the language of the Bible.
Almost the last place. There are a few other places. But in Malula, definitely what happened before is that the priests and the monks have fled. A group of beleaguered nuns were left there. They have not been killed, but the fact is that all over Syria we've had Christians attacked by rebels because they were Christian, and we've had churches destroyed by them, and so on and so forth. It's very clear who these rebels are. Originally, there may have been, 1,000 different groups with 1,000 different views, but now the ones that seem to be strong and the ones who count and the ones who would be in charge are essentially Salafists who are willing to kill fellow Muslims because they're not pious enough, and jihadis for whom winning in Syria is the beginning of fighting all the neighbors, and Al-Qaeda people for whom winning in Syria is acquiring a base to attack America. That's why President Obama very wisely didn't want to get involved. Then he got trapped by his own red line, as you pointed out, and now the Russians can untrap him. And I certainly hope he can control his own Secretary of State and his own overactive officials and simply say yes.
Again, I'm speaking with Edward Luttwak, who's a senior associate at the Center for Strategic International Studies. He served as a consultant to the Office of the Secretary of Defense, the National Security Council, the U.S. Department of State, and branches of the military. He's the author of Strategy, The Logic of War and Peace, and his latest book is The Rise of China Versus the Logic of Strategy. Now, why do you think, though, that the Syrians, I imagine the answer is they don't want to be bombed, but didn't they build this very, very substantial chemical arsenal as their poor man's deterrent against Israel's nuclear weapons?
That is true, but that was the poor man's deterrent. But Israel is not threatening them. Israel is not threatening to bomb Syria. It's the United States that is threatening to bomb Syria. So the nuclear arsenal that was acquired as a counterbalance to the Israeli air superiority is now serving that, not at all serving that purpose, and instead it is endangering them. And so it makes perfect sense for the Syrians to accept the Russian offer, but beyond that, as you well know, as we all know, the Syrians entirely depend on Russian strategic and diplomatic support. So Russians have made the offer, the Syrians simply cannot refuse. And this is great because it means that it saves us from the disastrous engagement in, you know, an attack on Syria this time, which is enormously costly enterprise for the United States as it is still trying to disengage from these wars.
So does this mean, though, that the Russians, unlike a lot of the critics of Obama's impending military strike, both on the left and the right, and as you know, the American people are overwhelmingly against it, and the Congress is at this point not likely to vote for it, the arguments are that it'll just dig the hole deeper and inflame the region even further. But it would seem to me that the fact that the Russians want this outcome would indicate that they think that an American strike might actually work. Is that a reasonable?
Well, for the Russians, the argument is a somewhat different one, and that is that in their diminished circumstances in the world, they're not able to prevent the United States from bombing Syria. But if they're not able to do it, so once the United States would bomb Syria, their weakness would thereby be exposed. And it is very bad for Russia to have its inability to protect its only ally cruelly exposed. The Russian proposal avoids that. Now, at the same time, the Russians are very aware of the fact that the Assad regime does not need chemical weapons in order to resist the rebels. Indeed, in the last 2 years of fighting up and down, it has not, of course, generally used them. It has not used them. And now there's a controversy whether, in fact, they were used in this one time, which I personally don't believe is the case, because why would Assad deliberately court an American attack once he, you know, given that he was, you know, given a free ride, more or less, if he didn't use chemical weapons? Doesn't make sense to me. Much more likely a rebel provocation. But be that as it may, for the Russians, it would... Their offer is a way to get out from an impossibly embarrassing position, to be seen unable to protect their only ally in the world.
But Edward Ludwig, when you say that the rebels are likely to your mind, are likely to be behind this chemical attack, where would they have gotten these weapons from, given that...
Well, because at this point, quite a few Assad regime, or if you like, Syrian bases have fallen to the rebels, they've captured warehouses, they've captured depots, they've captured all kinds of things, and it would be passing strange if they hadn't also captured, some chemical weapons.
So the case that the U.S. is making through intercepts of the 400-unit 450 and Brigade 155, all of that stuff is disinformation?
No, I don't want to accuse, other people of... falsehood, disinformation, deception. I just point to the fact that the Assad regime has been holding its own, did not seem to need to use chemical weapons, and the Assad regime was under straight warning from the U.S. that from Obama, if you're going to use chemical weapons, I will bomb you. And therefore, they had every possible reason not to use chemical weapons. It doesn't make sense for them to have used chemical weapons. And therefore, even if they were definitely used, and either the rebels did it, and the communication intercepts were simply mistaken, may have referred to something else. You know, mistakes do occur, especially in secret matters of this sort. But in addition to that, there is a possibility that it was simply unauthorized. That is to say, it was done by somebody who was in Assad regime uniform, but whose intention, as been the case for many people in Assad regime, is that he was a traitor. The guy who ordered this attack, who was intercepted ordering it, may well have worn the uniform, but did not reflect the Assad regime policy or its desires or wishes, but it was in fact a treasonable act, to betraying the regime. There's been a lot of these betrayals, a lot of desertions. Quite a few of the rebels, of course, were, you know, officers of the regime who defected, an enlisted man, and so on. So it's perfectly, there are many explanations other than deliberate deception by dishonest intelligence officers.
Well, but the reason that the, I think the bulk of the information and the bulk of the belief, which is what the administration is putting forth, is that it was the Assad regime, is simply because they are in possession of so much of it. They've integrated into their military in a way that I don't get.
Yeah, but I mean, an Assad regime, we've had Assad regime ministers defecting, Assad regime generals defecting, Assad regime colonels defecting. Any of them could have ordered the new chemical attack with the deliberate intention of triggering an American bombing against the regime. We've had numerous such betrayals, mm-hmm. and that would provide, assuming intelligence is entirely correct, and assuming, as I do, that there was no deliberate falsehood or deception, there's still a perfectly good explanation. Yes, it was an official who, an Assad regime official did it, but he did it in order to get the Assad regime in trouble. And since, as I say, there have been so many defectors, so many generals, ministers, colonels, and so on, have defected and have attacked the regime, this is not at all far-fetched. But in any event, the Russian offer makes all of this moot, because far better to remove all the chemical weapons from Syria than to bomb some of them at enormous price, political price, for the United States, yet, you know, starting yet another war, domestic diversion of domestic attention for the president and his administration, the provocation of Russia, slapping Russia in the face by attacking its only ally. I mean, there's 17 arguments against bombing Syria. And there were a couple of four, and these couple of four have been overtaken and overturned by the Russian offer, which is much better than those arguments would have been.
So at the end of the day, Edward Luttwak, Kerry's slip of the tongue, as far as you're concerned, is salvation. It gets the U.S.
Yes,
off the hook.
Kerry's slip of the tongue should become U.S. policy. The Russians have made an offer that only a fool would refuse, and we should not be fools. And President Obama gets out of this cruel predicament of him having to gamble his authority as U.S. president on Congress voting for something that he would never vote for if he were still a senator. This is a really absurd predicament, an excessive predicament, and he gets out of it by accepting the Russian offer. There's nothing wrong with the Russian offer. It's all right, none of it is wrong, except for those people who in reality did not want to act because of the chemical weapons, but it was really an excuse to take down the Assad regime, because they, unlike me, have view with favor the arrival of Salafis, jihadis, and al-Qaeda to power in Syria. And why that should be so is beyond my imaginings. But when I read, you know, the columns of people like Krauthammer and Cohen and these other characters and so on, you would assume that, you know, Al-Qaeda sympathizers, of course, something that is, you know, beyond imagining. But we now have a new situation. The Russian offer is an offer that has everything for it, nothing against it, and should be simply accepted.
Well, Edward Luttwak, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, I've been speaking with Edward Luttwak, who is a senior associate at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He served as a consultant to the Office of the Secretary of Defense, the National Security Council, the U.S. Department of State, and branches of the military. He's the author of Strategy, The Logic of War and Peace, and his latest book is The Rise of China Versus the Logic of Strategy. And we're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back with the award-winning investigative journalist Max Blumenthal, who just visited the vast Syrian refugee camp in Jordan.